What was the Twitterverse saying to you? What were they saying to you?
So I think because of the reaction.
I can tell you exactly what everyone was saying, not even knowing what it said on his Twitter. Would have been, was this guy berating a young superstar?
Yeah, there was a video of me and Hosman talking like in the dugout, and we were just talking, and like people probably took it the wrong way because what started that, it was the other press conference of our manager. at that time.
Okay.
So that was the start of everything.
That's what, okay.
And then people started trying to add us stuff. And then my guy over here was probably on fire.
Just taking bullets left and right over here for this young star, dude.
Yeah.
Profar's out there taking them bullets this year, though. It's all good.
Who's getting front and center?
Him. what did we say? I said over there.
Right here.
No, bro, hey. You sit here.
What a guy, man.
Cool, man.
What a guy, man. That white. You don't want? Oh, you're gonna do something. Hey. Nice. You're gonna do it like that.
This isn't that for ya.
I should go wear sunglasses, Bobby.
This guy.
Hey, this guy. Why he late every year to spring training?
hey, why are you late every year?
You're supposed to be the Caballo and Curacao, man. You late every spring.
It's just a secret, you know. Right now I feel great.
3 days extra rest.
Yeah. If I came early, I mean, I
just skip that first week.
That's a veteran move. I've been showing up a couple days late. You know what you're doing. Hey, if this guy pro, if we were to play the Yankees and the Dodgers every game of the season, he would be MVP All-Star. Hey,
the bigger the game is, the better the team is, he's coming to play, and he's ready to roll.
That's awesome. And then this dude, the king of the jungle. The king of the jungle. I tell this dude every time, when he walks out into a dugout, takes those steps onto the field, everybody in that whole entire stadium is locked in.
Everywhere,
the king of the jungle. Yes.
Bubba, I think you should be an agent, man.
Hey.
I know, man.
Come on, baby. Hey. King of the jungle.
Hey, this guy is an agent, man.
Okay. So we talk about the clubhouse guys, the guys that are the glue, the guys that keep everybody accountable no matter who it is. You, Manny, Kim, Leo, which we're going to talk about Leo too later. Fired, hired, hired, fired. We'll talk about that later. But see,
he's lucky, man.
How about I get all the news now? You know how we do it. Hey, when the Padres got rid of him, it was beyond obvious that they were getting rid of that glue guy in the locker room. And that is something we talk about you can't quantify. We don't know if there's an analytic behind it, if there's a stat behind it or whatnot, but we always talk about that chemistry, and Profar is right up there with the Jerod Dysons and the dudes that they come ready to play every day, but they're making sure that every single buddy around them is ready to rock.
What made him so good? Like, what did he do to be the glue guy? Like, from your perspective.
So guys like him have a unique ability to—
Personality.
Yeah, the personality, because they can say something that everyone's kind of thinking, like, hey, maybe we need this dude to pick up his energy a little bit. Profar has a way of saying it in a funny way to where this guy's not going to get mad about it.
Yeah.
The message is going to be clear, and we're moving on. We're good. It's not going to be not spoken about for 2-3 days. It's boom. It's right there hitting it on the head, and it's go time.
Have you always been like that?
Yeah, since little kid.
That's cool.
And Profar saw some of the, coming up in that Texas organization, Beltre, there were some heavy
Elvis.
Mucho Caballos.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, that was show squad. A lot squad of fun, but show squad.
It's game time.
Yeah.
A lot of fun. Time. Yeah. You know, they have a lot of fun, but they know when to turn it on.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Profar's got the coolest kid in the league, Kyrie, dude. Oh, my God. Hey, Kyrie.
I just had another one.
No.
It's a baby girl.
Congratulations, my man.
What's her name? Thank you.
Korea.
Beautiful. That's beautiful.
Young Kyrie.
He's got the biggest smile you can ever have. He's always in the locker room.
Six?
Oh, man. He's going to be pumped to be back out there in Coronado, huh?
Sure. Sure.
What's new with you, bro? Talking to you, buddy.
Oh, my God.
Hey. Hey, what's new with you?
I'm just in a good place right now, Pablo.
Got some suits?
Yeah, do something. We got Pig, my boy, gentleman over there. Was always getting us ready.
Mm-hmm.
And now just moving forward, man. I mean, you talk to me.
This guy was a young 19, 18 years old when I first saw him. Now he's a businessman. Look at him. He walked in here with
he even said this. So he put his jacket on. He's like, I'm not going to let Tatis outshine me.
I can't have him doing this. I know, bro.
I know Profar don't got me, but he has a chance. So now that I'm a new father, we all know Jack's about 17, 18 months now. How cool is it bringing Kyrie in the locker room, getting to be around this guy all daily?
The best. I don't have to teach him anything, you know? He sees everything in the clubhouse, and he just do it on his own. So I don't have to tell him, hey, you need to do this, you need to do that. No, he just see it in the clubhouse, and, you know, and they always find a way to look at the best players. They're not gonna.
Be cool. Don't say that. Be cool. Be cool. Be cool.
He's not gonna look at me. He's looking at Tati. He's looking at Manny.
See.
Acuna. Otani. Smart kid.
Hey, you were that kid?
You were that kid? You did that too?
Yeah, of course. I mean, when you come to a clubhouse, I don't know, when you're a kid, I feel like you just gravitate to what the games bring, and you just see it like from a young age, and you just like you're 2-3 steps ahead of everybody when you start playing the game.
Do you remember who those guys were for you?
I mean, yeah, I remember. The most thing I remember was like the Mets, the New York Mets clubhouse. My dad last year, so over there, I remember seeing Reyes, David Wright, yeah. Mike Pelfrey, Johan Santana. A lot of guys. They were just ballers. Beltran, also I remember.
Jose Reyes.
Oh yeah, Beltran's a big deal over there.
Yeah, Luis Castillo. Like I was like close to some really good guys, and like you just see it. You just see it, and you're like starstruck all the way around, and you just want to be like you want to pick the best from everyone. I want to do this like this guy. You want to do, and then when you put it all together, it's just
that's what you think. Yeah. That's what you get.
Voila. That's true.
That's sick.
Yeah, you grew up in the clubhouse. So, like growing up, so I'm telling people now, my prediction this year is Tati, I'm not going out on a limb by saying this, but Tati's going to be the MVP. Tati came up, killing the league, doing everything right, crushing everybody, faced some adversity later on, a couple years after that. Mm-hmm. Responding the way you did last year, coming out, overcoming that, is the type of stuff where it's like, now you're becoming a man, grown ass man. And now that going home, locking in for an off season, coming out this season, just worrying about playing, nothing but going out there and playing. Ooh, wee. Somebody's in trouble this year.
It's a lot of good pieces adding together. So, but no, like you said, it's, life is a process, especially when you're given with so much at the beginning. I mean, you were there and you saw a lot of it. Mm. And like, you know, you just take it, and you feel like everything is always going to be perfect, always going to be good. You feel like you're never going to be like beaten down. But then after that, with like all this process happened, I feel like when you come out of that, like you're like, you're just better. You just get better as a person, as a human being, as a ball player, attitude-wise. I mean, you just grow. And especially when you do it with a good heart, with faith, and like when you know where you come from and the people that are surrounding you have the same energy as you do, I mean, there's no limits. You feel like you want to go straight to the mountain, just break it in half. So mm-hmm. I feel like just moving forward this year, that's the type of energy I'm bringing right now.
It sounds... What number season lethal. Is this for you? What number? What year?
Five.
This is number six. Five or six. So my question with everything, yeah, it's crazy.
I said that's wild.
Yeah.
I said, wow. Damn. Well, I was coming to spring training and I was like,
so
getting up there.
Given what you just said, all the ups, all the downs, the public, some in the public, some in private, what are the biggest lessons that you've learned in your so far in your career in the big leagues?
Wow, I feel like, I mean, there's so many different ways that you can go, but I want to be like, doesn't matter the problem, the adversity of whatever you're going through, I feel is never as big as our mind and like, as a human mindset is never as big as we think it is. So I feel like there's always going to be a solution. And like I said, when you have a good heart and you have the right intentions, I feel like there's no way you can go.
Mm.
Being an older, like an older guy in the clubhouse when Tadi was young or a rookie and coming up and, you know, everyone's like, hey, man, let's get this guy, like, get his mentality right. Like, he can win an MVP. He's got all this type of talent. Like let's get him going, you know? So the more and more I got to know Tadi, it was like, you almost like envisioned yourself winning an MVP already, but like it went so far beyond that to where he was like, dude, like, I'm gonna have some power to be able to change some stuff where I'm from, my country. I'm gonna be able to reach all these guys. And to me, it's like, he knows he's gonna be such a big example for so many people out there. So to have the ability to take on something that you took on last year and how you came out on the other end of it,
incredible,
is an example that he truly believes that you're setting for all the young kids in Dominican, all the kids that look up to you. So it's almost like, when I got to know this guy, it was like, he was willing to take that stuff on, that star power. Let me be the one to teach these guys a lesson, because it was almost like you thought of yourself as such more than the MVP player, like impactful wise. And that was something that you were mature way, way above your years on.
Like when you see that stuff and you're willing to embrace it, I feel like, especially coming like from a generation of baseball players, there's a lot of like in the back of my head. Like I know my grandfather only made it to AAA. My dad was a big leaguer. He's played 10 years, but he always told me that he could have played way better than what he did. Like his talent was like way more that he was capable to show the world. So I like kind of like took that since I was a teenager, and like what we talk about it being in the clubhouse, learning from players. Like I was sinking in, like probably what guys are in the first year, second year of the big leagues start learning. Like when I was 14, 15 years old, like I already had all those stuff in my mind. So like going through the minor league was a process, but I was an advantage of the group. Like I was already know how to deal with a minor league system. You know, they don't treat us as, you know, they don't treat it's tough.
Tough.
It's tough. That's
the jungle for that's real. The jungle. That's the worst, man. Oh, no, but, you know, you grew up in that life.
Yeah, exactly. But even like taking care of yourself, like in the minor leagues, you know, we probably eating whatever food we find. Yeah. And like from that standpoint, I was trying to eat better. What it was better for my body, because I wanted like be different. Like I know you don't put any gas to your Ferrari, right?
Right. Yeah.
So I kind of learned that quick with myself, because I want to separate myself from the group. So I feel when I got to the big leagues, it wasn't like I was already the best, but I know I was way better prepared than a lot of people out there.
There's not many guys that when they come into the league that can set trends and really move the needle like that with baseball. And that's when I knew too, like we were in a new day and age as far as like the markets superstars and small markets and being on the West Coast or whatnot.
Yeah.
I mean, I was going home in the off seasons and I had cousins and little kids that were asking me about Tadi. So I knew, you know, they're able to see all this stuff online. So like, to me, it was like, okay, this is different, because this is something growing up for me, I would never be able to watch the Padres or anything along that line. And then like to reach that fact of like the whole world is seeing what's going on. I'll never forget, TJ and I were the traveling secretary with San Diego.
TJ, the GOAT.
He is the GOAT. He needs to be here. Shout out.
He's the GOAT.
We love you.
Thank you.
Go. So we're sitting there and Toddy goes to come up and he walks to the on deck circle. And there was about 300 kids. I mean, a wave of kids that just come running down towards the on deck, bust their lights out on their phone. They start recording. And me and TJ look at each other and we're like, dude, like, we need to start getting some team security. Like, this is different. You know what I mean? And then for me, like, Manny was there. And I think that was like the first superstar type stuff that we've all seen. And we're like, damn, this dude's starting to set some trends. But.
Well, Papa, in the Dominican is crazier.
Is it? Bro. You've been spending a lot of time out there in the off seasons and stuff.
Oh, this guy, hey, full stadium, but all those fans are kids.
Are you always going to play winter ball? Do you love winter ball?
That's the cool stuff about it. Like,
love winter ball.
The fact that
kids, that
new generation.
Yes. That.
Yeah.
Looking at him and trying to be like him. That's cool.
But going back to winter ball, I feel like winter ball have given me so much at such a young age. And like what we mentioned, like more of my memories were in winter ball. So the type of baseball game that I learned was like from there. So like, I was seeing like the game we play, like, you know, it's a little bit more crazier, a little bit more active. Like we are trying to be ahead of everybody, like on the small things. And like just the energy that we bring is just different when we walk to the field. So the fact that like always going there is like, how is structure? Like you have players, like the big leagues, you got more time to get it all together and like build one team. But like in winter ball, like it's like a tournament. So you bring in like everybody that's the best. It's not in the big league wise, but all around the world that are trying to make it, or it's like talent that's gonna go to the big league. So you already seeing like what is going to the big league. You're seeing players that came from Korea, from Japan, like from Mexico. Like you in one game, you're seeing 5 different arms. Like the starting pitcher is going 1-3, and
yeah,
then everything is coming. Is he 98 from here? Then somebody is 86 from down here.
Yeah.
So it's like
86 from 86 from.
Pro Bar Line got big when he saw you. Hey, but Pro, talk about, so baseball, I mean, baseball has taken you all over the world. I mean, you've had some
all
unique experiences.
Little kid.
And in the international game, Little League World Series, all that type of stuff. So talk about that. You've had some unique experiences.
Yes. You know, playing in Curacao, like going all in the Caribbean, I play baseball. And I think those things helped me. They helped me a lot, you know, playing in Williamsport at 11, 12 years old with 50,000 fans.
Man.
You know, that's the first time. Well, the last inning, they were going, USA.
I'm there at third base just like this. Not paying attention.
All those things help, man.
USA. I'm like, oh, man.
And you know all about the
international, man.
International game.
Yeah, Australia. Like WBCs, Australia, winter ball. How old were you when you started playing winter ball? Because I imagine, like most of the guys, you would have been facing levels way above what any other kid your age would have been facing, right?
My first year was when I was 18.
Right.
But like when I was a kid, like on those live BP and like batting practice, like I was in there. Like I was facing those live pitches since I was 14. Like since I was 14, 15, since I was able to carry a bat. Mm-hmm. But like doing that, and then you just adapt quicker than after that. When you see in that, I don't know. You just learn, but you just get it. You just like feel it.
You guys too, because the international game, you guys get put in some situations where you're playing some big league Hall of Fame type guys at a young age.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's got to be a
young, year. Old. I mean, as I said, the WBC was where I got my start, and I came in there. I'm a pharmaceutical rep who's made the Australian team, and I came in to relieve a real estate agent, and we're facing Venezuela, who's got Miggy, Maglio Ordóñez, Bobby Abreu.
Oh my.
And I'm like, all right, this is it, this is real. And you said 50,000 people. I'd never been above rookie ball before that. So I go to Orlando, there's 10,000 people there. It's just, I'm blowing up the radar gun. I walked five people, I punched out four, but it was enough to get enough interest to be able to get my career underway. And the next day I signed with the Braves and then turned that into a 14-year career, man. It was just like,
sorry about it.
It was insane. So I'm the biggest winner.
A lot of those things happen in
WBC, people signed from out of nowhere. Especially now because it's stretching to different countries too. You're seeing South Africa, you're seeing the UK, horrible uniforms, but the UK were there. They're like Britain. Great Britain.
Oh my God.
But it's stretching so much further. The Czech Republic, they're a force. They're winning games at the WBC now, but You look at the cream of the crop, and most of them are from Latin America, Asia. You guys are dominant whenever you guys get in those. And that playing for the name on the front, the country on the front, with boys that you've grown up with is so much different than...
Yeah. You said it.
Hey, it's man, different. I've never been a Braves fan, but I played there for 10 rights. Years, you know?
Yeah. Yes.
The thing is, us from Curaçao, Netherlands, we play with each other's... We went to the same school.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Same school.
Every level all the way up.
Every level. And then we end up playing on the WBC. You know, it's special.
Soccer is more like their teams are generational. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like that with you guys and Curaçao too. Like the
infield,
Simmons, Bogey,
Albies.
So,
when that group is, that's a generational.
Yes. Crazy.
Movement there in Curaçao, Netherlands, that whole team.
But how many times you get like your high school team, you get like four or six big leaguers from your high school?
No shot. That's crazy.
That's
amazing.
Like same team, we got like six big leaguers.
Was there a coach that was like brought you guys together at a young age and had influence?
No, not really.
Really?
It's crazy that we practice maybe two times a week.
Just go play.
I hit five balls. We hit five balls.
Then bye bye. What about Andrew Jones?
It's crazy that we make it to the big leagues, bro. It's crazy.
Andrew Jones made it, what, 19?
19, yes.
You know, too, the guys that play winter ball, when they get called up to the big leagues as a rookie, it's like they're battle tested.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about them like going out, getting rattled by the crowd or anything like that. They're battle tested.
Something that's interesting to me, in our first episode, Haas told the story where he was helping Salvi order food at Subway. And so, because Salvi didn't speak English. And so, and there's little cities in the middle of nowhere. And so Salvi's there and Haas is on the speakerphone telling the worker what kind of sandwich to make. We always talk about here in America what it's like to be teammates with a player from another country. You can't communicate with him. You don't speak his language. Mm. What I want to hear from you two is to talk about how difficult it is to come to a country where you leave your culture, you leave your food, you leave your families to come in and be around and play professional baseball with teammates who don't speak your language, with coaches who don't speak your language. What was that like?
All different rules too.
Yeah, like
when he first came over here.
Yeah, what was that?
You need to be willing to go through that jungle. That's the first thing.
Some people don't make it out alive. Some people end up with a podcast. See, hold on tight, man. So okay, I'm gonna chime in on this one because that's what I'm telling you with guys like Profar, like. Hassan Kim, like that's one of your best friends in the whole world because he comes over and it's almost like you guys can relate to what he's going through.
Mm-hmm.
So Profar makes it a point to go up to him in spring, go to his house at night, learn the culture a little bit, teach him the culture of over here a little bit. And dude, like the bond that you and Kim have, that's something that
look
goes.
At him now.
Yeah.
He's killing it now. And he's
killing it.
Continuing to get better and better and better.
Every year.
I tell the story with Kim. I tell, you know, a lot of the Korean, the Japanese players, to calm the nerves, they smoke cigarettes. So Kim, his first year, crushing cigarettes. You go to use the bathroom down the clubhouse, and Kim's just boom, boom, boom. Like, God damn, Bobby.
Stressing.
Stressing. So year two, he comes back to spring training, right? He comes back to spring training, and he goes, hey, bro, me, no more cigarette. No more cigarette. We're like, oh, okay, good, good. We go the whole straight, good. Second day of the season, six at bats in. We walk by, Kim's out there. We go, hey, you said you're done. He goes, mucho estrés. He got right back up.
Baseball is the jungle. People
can imagine what a mental grind a baseball assistant is. Mm. Like, they'll see us different. They'll see baseball players different.
Yes.
They can go through it like one season. Like, join us.
And isn't it like
everyday grind?
It makes it so much easier. Like we say, our team in 2016 and 17, when you can go through that with your boys, you get back on the bus and like, it's awesome, man. You know what I mean? If you're not in that situation, it's tough.
I know.
It's tough to perform the way you want to perform, you know?
You can just tell by your reaction when he brought Kim up that you genuinely are happy for other people's success, which is something that you also don't find in the big leagues a lot of the time. There's a lot of guys that are bitter I wish I had a play with you at some point because you're a superstar, man. I can tell already.
Young pro.
Kim is.
He's killing it.
Yes.
Really. He was getting MVP votes last year, right?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Had a couple, yeah.
How's the platinum look? I know what the gold looks like. I don't know what the platinum looks like.
You changed positions and won a platinum glove, dude.
Yeah, that's not fair. It's too easy for you, right?
No. Give me this bullshit. That is, no. Every time he goes to right field, he's an above average right fielder. No shit. This guy can cover the whole outfield by himself. What are we talking about here?
But that's part of my prediction because you learn a new position. Now you're year two coming off a platinum glove. I mean,
comfortable.
Confidence is through the roof. What is there to worry about? All there is just stay healthy and go out there and play. And that's got to be a good feeling.
Exactly. Stay healthy and go out and play. But, I mean, going to the right field, I know, like, I wasn't happy at the time because, like, I came on through to the minor leagues and envisioned myself as a shortstop. And I know, like, how good of a shortstop I can be or I could have been. But, you know, this happens and I moved to right field. And you know, I just flipped the page right away. I know nobody was gonna feel sorry for myself, right? So I just went out there and like I put the work in, like I tried to figure it out as fast as I could. And just going back to winter ball, I remember myself chagging, like all those groups, like just running to, you know, since I was a kid, running in the outfield catching those balls and like. I feel like it just...
It wasn't new to you. It wasn't all that new.
And like all those runs, like I can remember a lot of sprints that I used to take, like when I was since 13 till I was 15, and I can remember everything that I've done. And I'm transferring to the big leagues and like being at Petco Park, I just remember myself like how loose and how free I was doing that. So I just feel like it just transferred like right away.
It's got to be a lot for a dude mentally, right? At a young age.
Just looking at you, same thing.
Position change. I mean, the expectations are already through the roof, and now you have that.
I mean, it seems like just like listening, people might ask, "Oh, so much pressure!" But you've been around a big league clubhouse. You've been playing winter ball. It's like some guys are just kind of they're just wired to just play the game and they play the game they love. It's like guys that on the outside. Wow, there's so much pressure, but you ask the guy, he's like, no, I don't feel pressure. This is what I do. And so it's cool to, and what you said earlier, you just shrink it. You just make it, hey, no, I'm not going to make it a big deal. I'm going to go do outfield. All right, let's go. And just you able to simplify it, not overthink it. That's cool.
Some of these young cats like him, J-Rod, Acuna, I mean.
Ronald's ridiculous.
How about that year last year?
It was unbelievable to watch it first. Like he just. He hit the baseball so hard on a consistent basis, it was frightening.
Yes.
It was frightening. And he was having so much fun, completely healthy, free mind, just going out there and playing every day. No rules, just, hey, man, be yourself. It was fun to watch. It was fun to see those guys. Something that, you know, I remember Yunel Escobar coming up when I was first with the Braves, and it was kind of, it was tough on him because he's from Cuba and they play a different brand of baseball down there. He wants to come out there and show out and be a superstar. And it was kind of like he was throttled down by a lot of people because, you know, the way he played the game wasn't the way that it was supposed to be played the Braves way early on. And that wasn't from staff. It was just basically from the players group. So to see the freedom that these guys have now to be themselves, it changes everything. And it changes the quality of the game that we both still love so much. Otherwise, we wouldn't be doing this, you know?
Bro and I, we experienced both because when we first came up in the big leagues,
we always talk about it.
Stuff was a lot different. And then now it's like there's a lot of people that want to pick and choose old school, new school. And it's like, no, you're either all in on this way or you're all in on the other way.
And you can see it right away, like in the field. You can see if they're trying something that they can't do, trying to show up, like, oh, no, just keep going. Mm-hmm. That's not for you.
Yeah.
And then you just see guys, so it just happens. And then he does it, and you're like, ooh. You're like, okay.
It looks right.
Yeah, it looks right.
Yeah, like it's not forced, you know what I mean? It's like natural. It's like,
yeah. Ooh. Hey, we have to walk out of cages.
Hey, we waited to hit some.
We called, Pete Moylan calls it the get off my couch. Off my couch era.
Stop speaking, get off my couch.
You sit on that couch. Yeah. Provar, why are you sitting on that couch?
Yeah.
Go to the batting cage, you can be doing something.
You're not allowed to work on anything or get anything fixed if you're hurt either.
Yeah.
Don't go to the training room.
No. You couldn't go to the training room. Mm-mm.
So whose job in the clubhouse is it to set that environment? Is it the players? Is it player-driven veterans? Is it coaching staff? Who sets that, the clubhouse culture?
I feel like there's guys that lead by example, and then there's guys that hold guys accountable. But I would love to hear my man in year 6 or 7 over here now. How do we do it?
It's driven by the players of who they are and like in the clubhouse. Like it just transfers. Everything transfers like where it needs to go. Like players, like you can tell right away who are the players that are gonna talk when something needs to be talked. And like he said, you know the players are also that lead by example. And then I feel like when it's a really good team, that just flows and that just go by its natural way. But I feel like when it's trying to be forced, and I feel like a lot of us has been in a clubhouse like that where stuff's trying to be forced and like somebody wants to pick the baton versus probably another time or people just don't see him as that guy, then it's like, it's like kind of in between. But when there's the right people there and you have the right group of guys and, you know, everybody's pushing to the same way, I feel like that goes the best way it can go, right?
Yeah, and what I think about this year, too, with Bogarts, you being there with Bogarts, that's going to be huge for him. That's got to be, and that's such a weird dynamic with Bogarts because he is one of the most underrated players, I think, in our generation to win 2 World Series with Boston.
Ooh, yes.
Boston Red Sox, like a huge market. He's the starting shortstop. We all know, like, you're the shortstop, you're the guy. You know what I mean? That position, that comes with a whole new pressure. And, I mean, nobody really talked about him like the way they should,
in my opinion.
I think he's
going to have a huge year this year.
Huge year this year. Yeah.
If people talk, the guy hit 285 last year. So.
Yes.
Right. But what happened
was he was going through some stuff
that he told me that are fixed right now.
Yeah.
I think he's going to explode this year.
Yeah, that's what happens when you come in the league hitting 40. They're going to expect that out of you every year. I told you, be cool. Hey, start like 20 kilos. Work your way up. Guy comes in here hitting 40, 45. What's your favorite one? My favorite, I already know this one, the one in L.A. when you left the stadium.
Oh, my God.
Remind me of that one.
L.A., Dodger Stadium at night, and it was like there's like very few plays that – if it's not like an impactful part of the game, right? It wasn't like a walk-off. It wasn't like a go-ahead or whatnot. It's not like highlighted or whatnot. This dude, I think we were down like, you know, 6 or 7 runs at some point, and he hits one out of the stadium in Dodger Stadium. And everyone just kind of went silent. And it was one of those where like, we're going to talk about this on the bus. We can't talk about this right now, but we will talk about this on the bus because that was, oh my God.
That was the last week we got like cut. Like we got cut of the playoff race. So that's why we were like that. And like we were down by 2 runs, something like that. And it's like I have all that anger inside me. I feel like I just released it in one swing.
Can I ask you both about another homer, the 3-0 homer that blew up in the media?
Ooh, you almost got me shot for that, by the way.
I saw how that went down in the media, and I, knowing Eric, I was like, there's no way that's how it happened. And I've been able to speak to him, and I think it's important that everybody hears.
We were screaming.
Yeah.
Right? Everyone was screaming. It was 3-0. So everyone was trying to get his attention.
It was 3-0 and bases loaded.
That's
what you're thinking, right?
Don't show their 10
guys. I was at third.
You were at third.
Yeah, I was screaming to Daddy.
Don't swing.
And then I saw him like this.
I was like...
But that's the old, so this is
old school. That's the old mentality, though, right?
Yeah. Right? Old school versus new school, right? All right.
So he said it right then. He said, I just saw the bases loaded and I had a chance to drive in full. That's as simple as it gets.
And he did.
Like, that's it. And you did it.
And he did.
And then you get on the bench and you're like, what have I done? Yeah, it's
crazy.
And
we were like, we were up by 7, but we were like, we built that inning. Like we were down like by 3.
Yeah.
And we just added like 3 more. So I'm not thinking like, oh, we're up by 7. No, I'm thinking like, let's just roll.
Let's see, baby. Dude, I'll never forget. We come back in the dugout and we then use this as one of the coolest things that I will get back to. But at that point in time, it was so weird because like I end up making the last out, shocker. I'm coming out of the dugout, or I'm giving my stuff to whoever the first base coach is, and I see Odor, he's got his little fist clenched over there. And they're like, hey, damn. I'm like, hey, whoa. Like, if anybody that came at Toddy on the field, you already know, Pro Farm Meat, we're the first ones that like, hey, we got this. You know what I mean? Like, I'll talk to him, relax. So we go back to the dugout, and we were all out of the game at this point, and it was me, you, and Wayne Kirby, the member first base coach. And so Toddy's sitting there and it's the most confused feeling ever because he's like, dude, I should be so fired up right now. You had 2 homers that day.
Yeah. 2
And like, it feels like everyone's mad at me right now, but I don't understand why everyone's mad. So me and Kirby are sitting there like, this is the part that we're talking about, like old school versus new school. And like, if they're going to shift, when we're up 8, what's the problem with swinging 3-0? Like, if we were shifting somebody and they dropped a bunt on us, are we going to be mad? You know, like, how? We can't be mad at that.
Yes.
Because if he hits a line drive to right field,
out.
Yeah, you're out. Boom.
Yes.
Hey, I get back to my Twitter that night. Oh, my God, Bobby.
People were killing you.
Killing me, man. I told this dude, hey, Bobby, the world loves you. I might need you to make a statement on my behalf right now. Hey, Casey ain't safe in court. We need some more Navy SEALs out there.
Oh, man.
But so that moment, it was unbelievable because then after that, like, after that, I think it was that press conference. And then the next day, remember that song where they started with McGregor? It was our winning song. And I'd like to take the time to apologize to absolutely nobody. And we would all just go crazy. So we used that as our winning song towards the end.
And we broke the record of Grand Slam.
Yes. Slam Diego.
Started that day.
Ooh.
It was that one that started.
That's when it started. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Started that day, yeah.
That was a big time. The whole,
and then the next day was Will.
It. Yes.
Yes, Will. And then it was Manny at home. First, yeah. And then it was you last day.
Last one. Yeah.
Sorry about
off
it.
Gibson.
I thought Jacob hit
it was one. Yeah, after that game.
After.
So it was like 5 out of 6 games.
Mm.
But he skipped it. Jacob, you dumb mother. That was a big talk though, man, because this dude was national news. He's worldwide.
Everyone was talking about in the clubhouse. With the Rays, everyone, all the players are talking about. Yeah, it was wild. So what was the Twitter verse saying to you? What were they saying to you?
So I think because of the reaction.
I can tell you exactly what everyone was saying, not even knowing what it said on his Twitter. Would have been, was this guy berating a young superstar?
There was a video of me and Hosman talking.
Yeah.
like in the dugout, and we were just talking, and like people probably took it the wrong way, because what started that, it was the other press conference of our manager at that time.
Okay.
So that's the start of everything.
That's what. Okay.
And then people started try to add us stuff. Yeah. And my guy over here was probably on fires.
Just taking bullets left and right over here for this young star, dude.
Yeah.
Profar's out there to take them bullets this year, though. It's all good.
So you feel like things like the game's changing, the game's evolving. You think the old school, new school, and you were saying they take a side. Like, you can't be part of this and then, for example, 3-0 yes. swing, and then all of a sudden can't bunt on the shift. What do you mean by that? Take a side.
Like, there's so many unwritten rules that we had to try and deal with when we first got to the big leagues years ago. Like, simple things like, don't steal when you're up by 6 or 7 past the 6th inning. Like, it's a mathematical equation. Sometimes it's 6 innings, sometimes it's 7 innings, sometimes it's 7 runs, sometimes it's 8 runs. But it's just an older mentality to, these guys may be 0 for 20, and that's the best pitch they're going to see to get them back on track to maybe have a big week instead of sitting there taking a fastball down the middle 3-0. So I, who have seen it all now from 06 to 2018, the change has been massive, but I think it's the best thing that's happened to the game. I really do.
And you're also not getting a heater 3-1.
Right.
So you take that 3-0, you are getting a slider.
Yeah. 3-1, you ain't getting fastball no more.
No. Yeah. So if it's one of those, all right, you're going to do this 3-0, but I'm coming back 3-1 with the heater, maybe. But that's where, you got to be all in one way or the other. You can't pick and choose, like, all right, like, we're going to shift you, but we don't want you swinging here at 3-0. Like, you got to be all in one way or another. And that's what I think what is so unique about these young stars I'm talking about now, like you, J-Rod, Cunha, all these guys, is you guys have such a natural flow and flash about you. But at the same time, you're not disrespecting the other side. You're firing your teammates up.
And
it's okay to have a boss.
One thing is for sure, we're gonna be playing the hardest on the field. Like, we are willing to take our body like through the wall, to willing to catch the ball. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that should be like the real sign of respect, the way how you play the game, how the energy that you bring to play the game, you know, how you're leading by example. But it's like playing the game the right way, and that stuff, it just come natural. It just add up when stuff like that, like flipping a bat, it's like, damn, that's my reward of all the hard work that I have done, and like how I've dedicated my body to this game.
Then I can make a better pitch.
Hey, it's the big leagues, like you said, trendsetters. So this dude, the stutter around third, everybody's doing that. And he started that one, that skirt skirt. I was the hype man, dude. This dude had 45 homers. I'm up there at the top step. Like, hey, I'm acting like I hit it. That's right. Sit down. They're like, Haas, you suck. I'm like, that's right. Sit down. He's good. That's my guy.
What do you guys got on pitchers celebrating punch outs?
Love it.
Yeah. Bias. Do it. Right. Yeah, if you're not showing anybody up, if you're not like trying you as a man, you know what I mean?
Do it, man. A pitch.
Bring
that's
some
emotion. Play game. That's what have you have worked for. If you have thrown 7 innings and no runs, boy, you can do whatever you want.
Everyone.
You have been facing 9 guys through a lineup and nobody can hit that ball, bro.
Not sure if you've seen my stats, but I was a big ground ball guy. So I used to celebrate the ground ball that way, boy. Yeah. Thanks. That was good.
Yeah. Hey. Secret slider, Bobby.
Yep.
What are we feeling this year, bro? How you swinging?
Good. I feel good.
Lefty? Great.
Both.
Not about you feeling good, lefty. That's your, hey, that's what we're making
money, baby. I got this guy helping me right-handed.
Oof. Is Kyrie, is he switch hitting or no?
He won't.
He won't?
No, bro.
Just all righty. For what?
You see me, I'm two different guy. One lefty, one righty. I don't want that for my kid. Just be like this.
I couldn't imagine worrying about two swings during the year.
Oh, my God.
Two different ones.
You never finish.
And then when you feel it bad, one second and then
we're only facing
left. Exactly.
Oh, my God.
It's baseball, bro.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I used to watch Chipper do it, man. Chipper did it for a long time, consistently left or right. But he had two different swings. Like, his lefty swing was kind of like a smoother average swing. The righty was the pop swing. But, man, he did it for a long, long time. It's impressive to see you guys do that, man, both sides of the plate.
Who are some of those guys in winter ball? Like, I remember Juan Francisco. He was a solid big league player, but he was still a legend over there.
He's still there.
Is there any guys now that, like, I mean, they're all big league guys, but in Dominican, like in that winter league, they're up there as the guy.
There's some Mel really Rojas. Old school name.
Mel Rojas is
in Japan now, right?
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know why he's not over here.
Really?
Did he sign a multi-year deal over there?
He's no, raking over there.
1 year.
He's raking. Didn't he break the home run record?
He won the MVP.
MVP.
In Korea.
Okay.
Yeah, but those guys are pretty good. I don't know why they're not here.
You guys are going to Korea this year, huh?
Yes, we are.
Oh, that'll be awesome.
Man. You know, they're doing those trips. That's adding to the game. Yeah. I feel like it's a new adventure to all the players. Like, they're finding kind of the right time to do it and how to give us time also to reset. And, like, you know, going to another continent and going to a different culture that also love the game and being able to lift that, I feel like that's growing the game right way.
Have you been there before? Have you been to the
No.
Dude, you are going to be...
I'm looking forward to it.
You guys are going to be rocked.
Korea and Japan.
You guys are going to be superstars.
And everywhere. Taiwan.
I bet Kim's fired up.
Kim is probably so juiced up.
Yeah.
The food over there in Korea and Japan, the food.
Oh, it's magnificent.
Kim is Kim's one of the coolest dudes I've ever played with in my life. This dude is an absolute rock star. I mean,
he's definitely a rock star.
Oh man.
San Diego loves him.
Everybody went to play there,
and then when they said Kim, the fans went crazy.
Yeah, everybody loves him.
How baseball, right? Like the beauty of baseball. Kim doesn't speak any of my language. I don't speak any of his language. And me and him, like, I felt like I was like, that's one of my best friends. You know what I mean? Yes. Like, I know you've learned a little bit and he's learned mostly Spanish.
Like in the off season, I get a call at 11 p.m. from the Dominican. I pick the phone and I say his name. I say, I don't know what time it is or that. He just called me and say, what up, Kim? He say, what up? How you doing? I'm doing good, Papa. How you doing? Good. I miss you. I love you.
Short and simple.
I know. Doing good. Yeah, Papa. Good. Yeah, I miss you too. I love you. Okay. Love you. Bye.
Checking in.
Yeah, checking in.
The way he handles everything is, oh, man. And he keeps getting better and better.
Do you think it's a comfort thing?
Yeah.
Yes.
I think that's huge.
And when he came over here as a go-go shortstop, and I was playing shortstop at the time, but he came in spring training playing left field, and then, like, during this all season, like, he didn't play that much. So it was, like, imagine coming yourself, like, from a whole nother continent, from playing every single day in your country, and, like, coming to a different baseball, probably seeing more fastballs, not playing every day, and bigger dudes that are throwing harder. Like, it's a flip that that people that don't play the game is really hard to understand.
Yeah, that's why with pro, like, you've been all these different places, you've seen baseball in so many different ways. Any like Japan, any of those trips stick out to you as like, man, this is
all
different.
All of them.
Yeah, you know, it's
different baseball over there. Fans are
where was
different.
It. The WBC, your guys' first round, was it in Taiwan? You said, I remember you saying 1 year it was packed. And you said the crowds out there were
2017,
were great.
Yes.
17 in Japan and
we
Korea.
We started in Korea.
You guys went the second round and you went to Japan.
Japan.
And you played against Team Israel and those guys. Yeah, I remember. I'm telling you,
WBC.
It's different.
The best, right?
But you get to experience so much of other people's cultures. You get to watch. A lot of the times as the Australian team, we'd go over there and we'd do camps at high schools. You know, these guys are just so respectful of us and our culture, and they're so clean, and they embrace everybody, and it's just they love baseball.
Yes.
Baseball is their jam for sure. Yeah.
So like back in Curacao or Dominican, I know you guys do a lot for everybody there, the community and the young baseball out there. What is that like? Is that like your hometown has that? It's one specific stadium. You guys do some camps. I know Cano is from where you're from. And it's like, that's my area. That's my territory. I take care of this spot. And then same with like you and Bogey and those guys. Like,
I know Curacao is so small that, you know, we do the baseball week with Hensley Mullins, Bam Bam.
Yeah, Bam Bam.
We give clinics for like a week to the kids every year.
They got some players down there?
I got clinics from the professional then.
Andrew Jones, or just who?
Andrew Jones wasn't there, I think. Randall Simon.
Andrew Jones is one of those trendsetters, the way he would catch fly balls in Atlanta.
Yeah, I caught him right at the end. So I got him in 06 and 07. And even then, he was winning his 9th and 10th, I think, gold gloves. And even then, it was just his reads on the ball and his comfort level running back to the fence and making plays was just, it was so easy. It was like a dance. You talk about rhythm, but it was his jumps and he'd run to a spot. He wouldn't even look at the ball. He'd just run to a spot and he'd turn around and he'd time it so well. It'd just be boom. That's just there. It was insane.
Watching that every night.
It was so nasty. The glove would be right there, and then ball would fall right in there.
Wow.
Bro, you know about position changes too, man. We talk about that. I mean, you should have won the gold glove at, what was that, 22 or 23?
22, yeah.
Because you were throwing out everybody from left field, and that was a big change for you. So what was that? Was that like, for me, outfield, you got to take live reps from shagging, right? Like that is the best way to learn.
The best
just
way.
Learn the angles and learning all that type of stuff.
Balls, yeah.
And is it just something with when you're learning something new, just reps? You want to get reps, so you just get out there?
I think we play shortstop, you know? And it's not easy, but as a shortstop, you kind of have a feeling of those things.
In a shortstop, your feet, you get prepared like in any direction like any base can play. From the shortstop.
Yeah.
Like your footwork from there, like it needs to be the best and probably the quickest like on the game. So when you move forward, I mean, or you move to any different position, you're giving yourself more time to catch the ball and even throw the ball. So when you're coming from practicing shortstop and moving your feet and having that timing when to release the ball, like when you come in this angle, like which angle, like you need to release the ball so you can land like in the first base. Like when you move to any position, I feel like you just need to adapt to one of those things that you learn in shortstop and you gave yourself more time and more freedom. So it's not as easy as, but it's a way better transition.
If you're learning a new position, do you think from a mindset standpoint, do you think that takes stress off you as a hitter or adds stress to you as a hitter?
Ooh. It adds. I think it depends. Yeah. Why does it add for you?
I would almost guess it takes a little
something
bit off
different.
Because you're so worried about defense.
Oh, and when you started, how stressful was it?
Yeah, like I was like a little bit more twitching because I didn't want to like...
Right.
And I was like, I don't say it'll take more of your hitting, but it will drain you a little bit more when you are trying to adapt quicker and sooner. Mm-hmm. Instead of when you have time and like you said, you have the confidence, you just go out there and now you're trying to flow, you're trying to move because you know what you're going to do. Mm-hmm. So instead now, at the beginning, for me, it was probably the first 2 months. I was kind of like trying to be as perfect as I could have been. But then after that, as I saw how good I turned out to be, I feel like then everything started moving like water.
Just naturally, huh?
Just naturally.
That's why when position changes, you going from being a shortstop to a reliever, I mean, there's so much downtime as a reliever.
I need it.
Like how do you learn a routine and stay ready?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it was
you can't just keep sipping chai tea, whatever.
That's what I did. It's effectively what happened. You know, my story is so crazy. I'm not going to get into it too much, but I'll just give you a quick version. Like I was a shortstop all the way up, and I ended up changing positions, coming in pitcher. I got a chance to sign as a position player as a 20-year-old, as a 23-year-old. I turned them down. And then eventually WBC, I turned into a pitcher. But it was all just, I either had to get it done because I went straight to AAA from nothing to AAA, and I had to adjust and figure it out or I was going to be gone. It wasn't like they were going to give me too much time to figure it out, even though I hadn't had that much experience. They said, let's go. So it's just, you got to figure it out, man. And like these guys have talked about, it's you get that initial nerves. Once you can get the confidence and that comfort level doing anything, once you're comfortable, I was interested to hear what you were saying, because I had the same mindset. Maybe when you're in the outfield and you're so stressed out, being in the batter's box, because that's something that you've done before, it was almost like a relief to get in and just hit rather than being out there and stressing. But the total comfort level hit, and then you were able to take off in both position and as a hitter.
Have you guys ever, you remind me, have you ever driven a car somewhere? You've been to this place many times. You get to your destination and you're like, what? I drove for you, made these turns, but you're so focused on something else. You were listening to music and you don't even remember how you got to this destination. So that concept is called highway hypnosis. Basically, it's because you've taken that route so many times, you literally do not have to think about it anymore. Your brain is like, hey, just do what you do, focus on whatever, you're free to just do whatever. But if you're going to a new location, you have your MapQuest, so we haven't used Map, you have your iPhone, remember MapQuest? You have your iPhone giving you directions, you're looking, you're thinking, and then you're thinking a lot. You're describing that exact thing. Anytime you're learning a new position, you're thinking, okay, pre-pitch, okay, I gotta go here, how do I read this card, okay. But then once you get the rhythm, now, don't have to think about it. You're just free to play. I think it just comes with all that, those reps.
How about winter ball? Is there any analytics going on there as far as like shifts, or do they kind of dive into that at all, or they, not really?
They dive a little bit to if there's players that are playing the minor leagues and they can go to their season short, and they get a better idea from there. Now they add the how's the pitch for the pitchers now. That is
one of those charts or whatever.
Yeah, it tells everything, the rotation.
Oh, like the spin and then they tell you like, hey, this pitch works for you. Throw this more.
Yeah, and they have a small iPad. But then after that, I feel it's way less videos. That is in the big leagues, and it's like there's a guy that came in from Mexico that nobody knows, and he's like, yeah, he just throw fastball that stinks a little bit. It's 90, 88 to 93 slider, change up, figure it out.
No radar, so you don't know what's happening.
Yeah, you know which pitch it was. Just go.
So with all these, with all the analytics, hitters now have so much information about pitchers. You know a lot. What do you guys like to know about a pitcher? Like, what information do you like to know?
I don't know, just what he throws, how hard is his fastball, and that's it.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like I'm a really simple guy. I'll go like, do what he throws, and like what his main secondary. But for me, it's like how hard he throws his fastball, and does it have any movement? Because then after that, I feel like I just.
How about this? I would always tell people too that, like, once you saw an arsenal, a full arsenal from a pitcher, once he sees all your pitches, then you might get him one time, but you will never get him again. Like, you're done. Once he sees everything and it's kind of stored in there. So as a hitter, like, for me, and I think pros same way, like, once you have a couple at bats off a guy, you don't really have any success, you don't get any type of hits, what is the first, like, adjustment you look to make? Is it, all right, maybe I should tunnel this guy a little higher, or maybe I should try to not swing at his slider? Like, where do you go to first to make that adjustment?
For me, it's like, what's the main pitch that's getting me out? So then I started thinking, like, my adjustment, why it's taking me there? And then I just tried to relocate myself, where for me, it's like, where I was trying to hit the fastball, which part of the field probably is not working, so I probably try to move my angles a little bit more, and then I just go from there.
And what's so advanced about it, too, is half the time, you know, a lot of guys are trying to figure out what the pitcher's doing, how he's whatever. And Toddy, a lot of times, is just like, no, I just need to make sure I'm good. Yeah. If my timing is there and I do that, then everything else is great.
It was really interesting to hear you say, why is he going there? Why has he continued to go there? Rather than why do I keep swinging at it? That was really, really interesting to me.
Crazy how in hitting pitch to pitch, right? It's, what is it, 15, 20 seconds, whatever. You swing at a pitch, take a pitch, and there is so many thoughts that go through your mind.
It's not even that now. It's like 5 seconds right now.
And that's what's crazy too. Like, that's what's for these new rules. You got to get in there. And that's why a lot of guys sometimes, you know, there's a lot of guys that take a long time out of the box. And you know, maybe they can clean that up a little bit and get a little quicker, but rightfully so, a lot of the times you're stepping out, you take a deep breath, you're trying to think of, all right, this dude just threw this, how's he gonna attack me now? So it's like a calculated attack, and it's just not like, you're not just getting out there wasting time. So this new pitch clock, it changes for the pitchers as an endurance thing, and it changes for the hitters because it's just go, go, go.
It's changing everything because now, like, you need to have plan A right away off the gate. I feel if you're going to adjust right now, it's probably just going to come off your natural ability because right now it's so quick. Now, if you get out of the box and you know what players one, mm-hmm. two.
Yeah, you can't slow.
Strike
can't
one. Slow right anything. Yeah. Yeah. You can't do that anymore.
Yeah.
Like, you used to see Manny Ramirez, right?
Yeah.
Nope. Clock. Hit. Truck. Like, shit. This can't happen. Like, right now, I swing a pitch and I'm like, oh, shit. Let's go again.
Just get right back in.
Just right at it. Like, you don't have time for nothing.
But on the flip side, do you enjoy the shorter games? The shorter games, the 235s, the 237s?
I don't feel any difference.
Really?
I feel like if you can play a 235 game, like 245 and 3-hour game, it probably won't be a much difference.
You guys got that division this year is strong, huh? L.A., Arizona's got a lot of confidence right now.
They have a lot of confidence.
Giants.
San Francisco's going to be better.
What it was about them is, like, they were not a super slug team. Mm-hmm. They were playing really good baseball.
They were athletic.
Like, if you were seeing from the outside, like, the way they were running the bases and the way they're pitching, obviously their starters established themselves. But the way, like, they were playing defense and, like, moving the ball and them running the bases, it was winning baseball. So that's why they got
there. Well-coached. Yeah. Well-coached team.
He's an old baseball soul, too, here. Yeah. Like, you can tell your dad taught him the game.
Yeah.
You're talking about base running. You're talking about defense.
Oh, hey, the best manager, his dad.
You played for, what, 2 years now or one?
1 year.
He's back. So he's back to managing out there?
Yeah. Yeah. We made it to the final. We lost in game 7.
The best manager.
I couldn't play in the finals.
Why?
They didn't let me. I could only play in round robin. They tell me, oh, you can't play.
But they let Probar play?
I didn't play in finals.
Hey, you walk in there. Hey, you better walk into this clubhouse ready to go every day, bro. If you come in there a little mopey, hey, Bobo, what's going on? Casey, get under there a little bit this morning? What happened? I'm like, oh, bro, don't hey, today, Bobo, bro. Yeah.
Hey, if you were in that clubhouse with this guy's dad, bro.
I would need to hear it.
Hey, he gives speeches. Sweet. I'm like, hey, it's serious, but at the same time, funny.
That's awesome.
Really quick, talk about the players who from San Diego, when they come in, they're calling you Papo. Mm-hmm. Talk about that, because someone might be listening. They're like, wait, what? What are they calling Haas?
Papo's been my name. That's been my nickname since day one I got to the big league. So Brian Pena. Catcher, he's from Cuba. Yeah, yeah.
That's a story right there, man. Holy cow.
Oh, he is unbelievable. He's been killing it as a manager in the minor leagues, and I know he's moving up the ranks quick. So he found out my mom was Cuban. Me and him had this, like, he was like my older brother in the big leagues. Like, he just took care of me. And everybody in Miami, when I was coming up through high school, called each other Papo. Like, hey, Papo this, Papo, Papo. So, I mean, that's how me and Brian Pena would always talk. We would call each other Bopo. And then next thing you know, 13 years later, everyone's calling me Bopo. That's my name. I need to get it on a chain like Profar's got right now. Hey, Profar's up the style big time.
We played together in 2010, right? My first time playing with you.
Was it either
Instructional League?
Against each other?
No, with each other.
When? You were with Texas.
Yeah, but they did a thing.
Where they combined the teams?
Yes.
Yeah.
Totally. Yes.
So it was the first year that didn't go to Hawaii. It was the Fall League and the Hawaiian Winter League.
Yeah.
And they called it like the B League, the Fall League, something. B League, something like that.
Something,
So we all made one team. Yes. And people forget how loaded Texas was.
Hey, we killed every team.
Yeah.
Oh, because man. You guys had a great team too, and then they combined us.
Their minor leagues were winning all the levels that we're winning.
All the levels. And then, so we shared a complex. Kansas City, you had to be clean shaven. You had to wear your pants up.
Oh, man.
And we're all out there looking like clowns. Hey, these guys come over with their long pants over their shoe. Big beers coming out there, stomping on us. And we're like, all right, we need to be like them. I don't know how we're going to do this, but we need to be like them. Because, dude, you guys had so many players over there. And even guys like, I remember Iannucci, the guy with the huge forearms. This guy would get up there, homers after homers after homers.
Yes.
I remember my first couple of years, kind of like how Moose was telling us, I'm like, this is what a big leaguer looks like. I don't know if I'm that guy right now. And then, I mean, these dudes are 4 or 5 years older than you. You're 18. These are grown men. And they're
The Tyler O'Neill guy.
Yeah, he's a beast. He's an absolute monster. Damn, this was fun. I want to keep doing this, but you guys got to go to work, man. We're going to be watching all year pro. You're that guy in the clubhouse. You are going to
We're going to be great this year.
Yes. Toddy. Ooh, we just go out there and play this year. Ooh, wee. Just give me some love in that MVP speech, baby.